But you got to realize, if you're going to go through that process going up that hill, you're going to be working for about $1 an hour.
Yeah, when it comes right down to it, like I said, their values don't align with our values, and I believe in integrity, honesty, and...
You lose all rights to it. We were lucky.
Welcome to the Pixel Pushers Podcast, the podcast where the co-founders of We Do Vids, Brian and Sarah, give you whatever's on their mind for this month, every month.
We're just starting this monthly thing where we just kind of talk your ear off.
Actually, we're just starting out, trying it out, see if we...
Yeah, so it's going to be like a video podcast and an audio podcast, because we'll do that too.
Are we? Where are we publishing it?
You know, all the podcast places.
All the podcast places. Is that like PodTube and FacePod?
Yep, exactly. And PodIn.
Pod in.
Linked Pod. Or
linked
something.
Pod. Okay.
So anyways.
Linked Cast.
What are we talking about today?
Third-party companies that use creative talent to fulfill their clients' needs.
And there's a lot of them out there.
Yeah, we've had some experience with some.
So basically the idea is these places get a whole group of creative people, you know, from all over the place, and you kind of like sell your services to a larger audience and they end up taking a cut or more than a cut. Some examples would be stuff like Fiverr, Upwork.
Thumbtack. Stringer.
Who else? So there's a bunch of them out there.
Our disclaimer would be that these are our experiences, and some are good, some are bad, and we aren't telling anybody not to work for these places or trying to give that kind of advice. We're just going to tell what happened to us and our experiences with them.
We're also not saying to work for these places.
Yeah. So let's start with Thumbtack. Have you done any work for Thumbtack?
I have not. I have... been on the site and looked at it slightly. So yeah. Tell me about
Thumbtack. Is a platform that asks for, I think you can do almost anything with it, but I focused on it with photography and videography. But I think they will go as far as doing lawn care and basically any kind of job that where they have clients that need things. And what you do is you bid on a job. Say that there's somebody who... They give you a first name and a last initial, and that person needs a wedding photographed. And their budget is $1,000 to $1,500, which is reasonable. And then you would place a bid based on your dollar amount that you've paid into Thumbtack. So say that the bidding started at $8. So I would take $8 of my $15 I paid to Thumbtack and bid on this job. And you either get it or you don't. The problem is, if you don't, you don't get your bid money back. So Thumbtack keeps that, which makes sense. You think, okay, well, let me try again on the next bid. I probably invested about $50 total in credits and got no jobs at all whatsoever. I published a portfolio on there. I put a lot of time into making my profile and got zero bids. And when I stopped bidding and complained, I got... just try this, or we'll give you extra credit and discount this, discount that. There was one time I got a headshot bid that went through, and the person said, you're hired, and then the person just never got in touch with me. Nothing ever became of it. So at that point, I decided it was a waste of money, and I haven't heard of anybody being too successful with that platform.
No.
As a photographer, I feel it is somebody just trying to take advantage of creative people that are already hurting for business and looking for work. It has been 3 or 4 years since I've used this platform. I tried to use it, so maybe it's changed a little, but looking at the reviews on Google, I don't think it's changed much.
Now, are there ways that you find the people who you're bidding to, the client, is there ways that they're gaming the system?
I think...
Or are there ways that other...
Actually, you can. I have actually looked up the first name, last initial of the person, because they give you the general location, and actually found them. But I never went behind the platform's back and directly reached out to the customer. I didn't think that was fair to the customer. I thought that they might feel intruded upon. But, I mean, I guess there's a kind of a way around it. In that regard, but...
All of these platforms don't want the communication to go beyond those platforms.
Right.
They want in control because these platforms want to get their cut.
Right, yes. And I think I was suspicious that it might be possible that they were making up bids, making up scenarios, weddings, whatever, to get people to bid to make money. I got the feeling that that might be happening just because I had bid so many jobs and not gotten anything out of it at all.
And so these are regional jobs, so it's not like the whole country is bidding on these.
Right,
these,
because you have to be able to go to this wedding.
Area.
You know,
right.
it has to be local. And some of them were absolutely ridiculous. I think a lot of customers expect a little too much for not enough money. If you're going to pay, in my opinion, if you're going to pay $500 for a wedding, you're probably not going to get top-notch photography. And so a lot of the bids I would not even bid on. I'm not gonna do a wedding for $500.
Well, a lot of people
doesn't even pay my assistant.
My experience also, like just doing tech work, because I've done a lot of tech work. That's my other business. Is the quality of client you get? They're going there. The clients are going to these places to get a deal to find the
right, yes,
cutthroat bottom.
Yeah, so
of the barrel,
it almost right? is unfortunate for the platform too when that starts to happen, because then they're not going to get the people to do the work, and they're not going to be able to fulfill the work.
It's like doing tech work, and it was international, so I wasn't dealing with a regional. So you had other people offering services where in places where the American dollar wasn't was very high. So clients could come in there and get stuff for dirt cheap, like really dirt cheap. Fiverr was one of those things. And it's interesting how Fiverr started out, because it's you actually can go in there and pay thousands of dollars for something and actually get some decent stuff. Maybe, sometimes, depends on who you find. But it started out as a platform where you get almost anything for $5. You want a logo designed, it's $5. You need some Photoshop work. You need tech work, $5. So they also take their cut, though. So I think the cut's like 30%. So it ends up being
like $350.
after that, and then they'll send you your payment in PayPal, and you got the PayPal fees, which a lot of places actually somehow get around to PayPal fees. So that $5, I know I was selling a database on there. All I had to do was zip it up and send it off. But that payment was like $3.70 or $3.80. It really wasn't worth it. The Fiverr platform's definitely kind of upped their game a little bit, and they're actually trying to move into this local thing with photographers too.
Right. Well, I do photographic retouching, and something like a face swap, like say that you have a baby crying in a group photo and then the baby smiling in another, that is a very quick and easy job to do, considering the baby being faced the right way. Consistently with the other photograph, that would take 5 minutes. That would probably be worth $10 or $20 per image. Five? No, I don't think so.
I think they figured that out. Their whole platform is interesting because they do have people that do just almost anything. And I have gotten long-term clients who just, can we get off this platform? I'm not on there anymore. I had a profile and I just got too much stuff. They also have a bidding process, but you don't have to pay for it. But
that would be ideal.
You get like 20 bids a day. So it's a little bit more reasonable. And after they kind of remove that $5 thing, and so you can charge like, okay, starting at $500 or whatever for whatever service, that really like grew their offerings. And like, but their fees, what they're taking out of it is ridiculously expensive. The quality of client is really not that good. If a client isn't happy, you really don't. There is a dispute process, but you really don't have any resolution. It's always going to favor the client. And the nice thing is the client has to pay that money. It's basically put in escrow before you even begin. But if you're doing some, like I'm fixing someone's server, and then they say it wasn't done right, even though it was, I am just out that time of work. So
yeah.
Definitely the clients can game it pretty
yes,
well.
That's true. There's another platform for people that are out there looking to make money quick called DoorDash that is very similar. I have a lot of respect for DoorDash. The logistics of it is just amazing. But you get into the same problems. You get people that don't want to tip, or they don't want to pay to have their food delivered, which is a premium service. You know, you have to pay for a service like that. And then when you don't tip and you don't want to pay to have that food service, your order is going to sit there because the driver has the right to decline whether or not they want to deliver that order. And if it's not enough money, they won't deliver it. So the it's one of those things you got to keep in mind as a service provider and a person seeking the service, that you definitely want to pay a little bit more than just the standard, what I have to pay to get by, to get good service and the good quality.
Some of the work I was doing on the Fiverr platform was all tech work. It was like, you know, okay, our website got hacked. Can you fix it and secure it? I did have the option, even back then, to say, you have to message me for a quote. It's not going to be $5. On a lot of those kind of things, you never know how long it's going to take. They do have the ability to tip you. And what I noticed, I would have a lot of clients wanting to get off that platform. You're not supposed to do that. But I finished the first job for them on the platform, and they tipped me like
almost two
or three times a month, as much as I originally quoted. And then they went on to be long-term customers.
Yeah. So were you able to build clientele that way?
I was able to.
And a portfolio and recommendations.
I already had enough portfolio. And I think that's another thing with a lot of these services, because you have a rating system and a review system. So if you don't have anything on that platform, it's really hard to get established.
Yeah. So then in that case, it might be worth doing the $5, $10, and $15 jobs so that you can get established into where you can say, here's what I can do. As long as you don't get known as that person that'll do it for cheap. That's what
I mean.
You don't want to do.
You're gonna, if you want to go that route to build your portfolio on any one of these platforms. Like I said, I've moved off of Fiverr. I got a bunch of decent clients, and it was just a pain to deal with. But you got to realize, if you're gonna go through that process going up that hill, you're gonna be working for about $1 an hour
in some cases.
I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
Especially on some of these things, you don't know how long it's gonna take.
Right. And so, in some cases, it can pay off, which brings us to our next third party company that we have had the most ups and downs with. That would be Stringr.com.
And these guys,
This is as videographers. Stringr.com is a service for people seeking newsworthy events. For example, they will post a need for footage of a dog getting a bath, or a news event, a speaker or something is coming to town, and they put it out on a platform where anybody can go and shoot it, and then it's downloaded by the news company that requested it, or the media company that requested it.
Yeah, not even a news company anymore. They're kind of branching out.
Yeah.
That's actually an interesting story. Probably talk about, just say how we even got involved with this. So, like, being a tech guy, I'm always, like, early adopter on an app. I'm using the beta versions.
You signed up for the very first.
Signing up for websites, you know. I signed up for Pinterest when they were all the buzz, and I'm still sick of them. I'm so sick of them sending me emails. I was on there once. So there's actually a lot of things. Like my spam box or my inbox on some of those email addresses is just ridiculous. So anyways, being an early adopter, I signed up for this app, and the whole deal was, back at that time, it was like, if you see something cool, video it on your phone, and maybe someone will buy it somewhere. Now, there's a lot of licensing companies, and we should actually talk about my most recent video licensing story. We'll get to that. So anyways, I looked at it. It was cool. It was like, whatever. Forgot about the app, and I think, how long passed?
Several years. It was just this past summer.
And yeah, it was
August of 2019.
Yeah, so August 2019, I start getting random texts just over and over, and I'm ignoring them. And I'm like, what is this Stringr thing? And so finally, I got to go get onto the website, figure out my login, which was kind of a pain because I had already forgotten it. And I'm like, oh, okay. So there's people requesting specific footage of newsworthy events. And I was looking at the prices, and it was $40, and I was like, eh. And it's, you know, 80 miles away. Not literally, a fair drive. I mean,
enough to make $40 not worth the trip.
Right. And So I was just ignoring it. And one day, I think we just got back from a big long road trip. We're a little broke. And I'm getting a call and a text. And I said, should I call them back to you? I was like, it's only going to be $40, whatever it is. And we're like, oh, $40 is better than nothing right now.
But besides, you get to film news events. Some of the stuff is really fun to do. And you can also do still photography, and it opens up doors.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of really didn't know what it was about.
Right. We decided to go out on a limb, which we do
sometimes. So we called them back, and I said, well, how much does it pay? And they said, what, $350? $350. Go film the Trump protests after the shootings in Dayton. And we said, hell yeah.
Well, first we were like, is this for real? Is this a scam? I thought it was a scam through the whole process until we got paid. I thought it might be a scam.
We went out there, we filmed it. They were, they had some, I forget where, Italian maybe, French news company wanting this footage. It was a new client for them. They were so insistent. We're like, no, we're bringing out cameras to film this. No, please use the phone so you can get it up there quicker through the app. Right. And, you know, so we were sending up footage through cell phones.
Through very inexpensive Android phones. It was
and also shooting with our camera.
Shooting with our camera, because we knew.
They were demanding that we get stuff in as we got it.
Yes.
And then we get a text, cell phone footage is shaky. I was like, I told you we have a camera.
We're going ahead and doing the DSLRs.
I don't even think we were done with that, and we got the payment.
Right.
We were still on location.
Right.
So we started doing that a little bit.
Right. Yes. And that was a pro request. That's why it was such a high dollar amount. The regular platform works in the way where they will publish, on their app on your phone. They'll come up, footage needed of this Christmas tree lighting. Anybody can go shoot it.
Or breaking news.
Right. Bodies, anybody can go shoot the news event that they post a request for. And then everyone uploads, and the news station decides which one they're going to buy. And so basically what started happening was four or five people would show up at a news event, and only one person would get downloaded. Therefore, only one person got paid. So you can kind of see what's going to start to happen with this. It became about the money, and the quality definitely suffered.
The professionalism.
Yes. The people were not news photographers. They didn't know what they were
getting into. Presenting themselves.
Yes.
Not knowing the rules, like, yeah, breaking news scene, don't cross the caution line.
Don't photograph the guy that's got his face covered because he's the SWAT. I mean, those kinds of things.
What upsetting first responders and police officers, yes, getting in the way, and not having good attitude. And you've been in journalism pretty much all your life.
Yes, so some way or another, I've worked for news. So I thought, hey, this will be easy for me. Maybe our footage will get downloaded based on quality. And that happens sometimes.
So you know all the people in the
right.
business
and
in
I
town.
Did know
it's
that,
a small
right, yes.
town. So.
I knew the people in the business already, and I had I had a little bit of a reputation as a photojournalist, because that's what I started out as, working for Dayton Daily at Springfield News Sun, who were owned by Cox, which was Channel 7 also. So I did. I knew quite a bit of people. And I knew how to conduct myself, and I knew what kind of quality they were looking for. So it was really, really tough. It was a real blow on the ego when you're up against the phone shooters and you see someone get their footage downloaded because they made it. They made it there first. They got their video uploaded first, and then they're the ones who get paid, and you're literally out of time and money by doing it.
Yeah, and you might have driven for 30 minutes.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, just
yeah.
to get there in 30 minutes back.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're not using cell phones, so we actually have to offload this video from our cameras to
right.
the PC.
And we found pretty clever ways to do that on location.
Yeah, we got some video.
And it actually ended up being lucrative for us, but it caused a lot of problems for the news stations and for the people who were hosting the events that were being photographed. We would go and say, hi, we're here. We're from WeDoVids.com. We're shooting for a third-party company. I'm pretty sure it's Channel 7 or Fox 45 that's going to run the footage, but I'm not sure. And they would look at us and say, you're the fifth person here from Fox 45 and Channel 7. And I would say, actually, I'm not from there. I'm representing a third-party company. So, no. But everybody else would say, I'm here from Channel 7, because they would just assume that's who was going to buy the footage. And it caused a lot of a lot of very uncomfortable, angry situations with a lot of competition. I think it was very unfair of Stringer to create that kind of environment. And then you got no respect from them when you would complain, hey, you know, there's five people, what, will you let me know if you need something shot and there's not going to be six other people there? And they wouldn't. They had no respect for
when you upload something, or if you capture something on your own, they want you to upload it. Like, oh, no, just upload it. We'll pitch it to our news stations. You lose all rights to it.
Yes.
So, yeah, that was... We were lucky in the fact that what they call pro requests, where they needed a bit more quality, better interviews. That
and it was only offered to one person. When they would send out a request for pro footage, it would only be offered to one professional, not put on the app for anybody to go pick up. So we got
pretty
really
much,
lucky with
we
that.
Were pretty much it for that.
Yes.
Which actually was great because that led us into some non-news things for some big other companies, some bigger... Yes. Companies, but they were difficult to work with. You would ask them, how many do you have, any other people going 30 minutes away for this public request, and they would say, go anyways. And
yeah,
and they weren't that nice. They were really short and really brief. Right. Or you'd get automated responses and they would want to communicate with you via text.
Right.
Yes. They would call us for these pro requests, which basically is standard quality, which you would expect to see on the news.
Yes.
Which led us to some other stuff. They started getting into some internal communications video. Now, this is where that whole not being in touch, them trying to control the communication with the client. This was obviously very new territory for them. They didn't really know how to plan this or execute this, but they really wanted us to not be in touch with the client.
Right, yes.
So they sent us out to Columbus to shoot this thing, and we were told, you're going to film someone, it's an internal corporate video, you're going to film someone by a window on a phone. On a sales call.
Two people talking. We didn't know if they were going to
be... It was two people. It was two people initially.
We didn't know if they were going to be talking face-to-face like him and I, or if they were one was going to be on the phone. We had no idea what... that's what we were told. That's what we were prepared to shoot, even though, thank God, we packed everything we owned.
We packed
including
pretty much
four
everything.
Cameras.
Except for the one thing that was really important we didn't think we'd need, because it was going to be a stationary shot.
Right, yeah.
On a tripod, as we were told. We got their script, their 6-7 page script. Oh, by the way, this is supposed to take an hour or two. It paid. Yes. It actually paid well. It actually paid our normal rates. But the night before, we travel an hour and a half away. We pay for an hotel in Columbus, Ohio. We get the script as we're pulling into the hotel. That's 6 or 7 pages for this thing that's only going to take an hour, two at the max.
Yeah.
We brought everything we needed.
We, thank God, were... approached the client immediately and said, this is what we expected. This is what you want us to do. We've got all day. As long as you guys are good, let's make this work the way you want it. So they were very receptive, thank goodness, to our process of production to get what they needed.
Well, and I think they also thought it was only going to be, who knows what's
people,
certain here.
People don't know. Don't know how long it's going to take to do a video like
and
that.
And we could have shot their whole thing in 2 hours, but it was them that needed to go, you know, stop, take a break,
right,
reread
yes,
stuff.
Yes,
and go, which is fine. It was a 7-hour shoot.
Yes.
And they had a big, crazy turnaround for like the next day of an edit. And... so we did it. We set up, you know, instead of that one camera on a tripod pointing at these people, it was three cameras. We had lav mics, separate audio recording. Then there's all the stuff at the beginning and end that wasn't mentioned. That's all this kind of acting with salespeople at a hotel. And
I can't imagine somebody not having experience in video. Going and showing up and trying to produce that. I can't imagine. I felt a little upset with Stringer that there was so much lack of communication on what actually was being done and how much actually had to go into it. And I would hate to think of somebody going there not prepared for that.
We would have showed up with what we were told the shoot was going to be,
yeah,
that would have been a huge disappointment.
Definitely, right.
Because And I think just because they didn't know what they were doing, they didn't get script until a couple hours before they sent us the day before.
Yes, and they had reached out to, I mentioned I asked him how he'd heard of Stringer. I was curious. And he said it was, I had a choice between Stringer and Thumbtack to have the video produced, and I needed it quickly. That would be what I would do if I needed something quickly, reach out to some company that's going to find that person for me. But I don't think they realized what a sacrifice of quality that can be.
And, you know, they were wonderfully happy. They actually, we were copied in on the email loop after that.
Which we got in trouble for through Stringer because we communicated with the client outside of their...
We are not to communicate.
Yes, we got a message outside saying we are not to communicate with the client, even though the client communicated with us.
Yeah.
I mean, they did know who we were and where we came from.
They...
You know, they had to. We worked with them for 7 hours.
They initiated that kind of to tell us how good of a job they felt we did.
Which was wonderful on their end.
The other thing with Stringer is feedback. You know, getting feedback on some of these higher paid things. We were doing some stuff for social media property of MGM through them that paid okay. Was definitely not our rates, but it was a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun storytelling and good experience.
And they're very specific on how they wanted it shot and everything.
Yes.
And we would ask how we did. We only got like, well, you did this wrong.
Yes.
Or this one could have been better.
Yeah.
We would never
would point out one mistake and just really, really just almost like they were trying to put you down over it.
Same with that corporate shoot that the client was so happy with. They were like, well, you needed time code recorders on those.
If you're going to do recorders.
Yeah. If
for
you're
$80 jobs.
Well, that was not an $80 job. But that one was more on our rates. But you needed to have time code recorders. That was the feedback we got for that whole video. That whole process the client was happy with three cameras, all kinds of sound. And the client was happy. I was like, well, did we do anything right? You know? Time code recorders for the shoot that we're supposed to take one camera and one tripod up
to. Yeah. And it was very hard to get anybody to respond. Like, say that you had an issue where you weren't paid when they promised payment. You would go to them. Nobody would answer.
Which would happen.
You'd find out your video was downloaded. You should expect payment the next day, and it wouldn't come. Or you wouldn't get a notification that your video was downloaded.
And you see it on the news.
So you know, it's like, okay, wait, are they going to pay me for that? No. I had to call and say, "Hey, I saw my video on the news. When will I be paid for it?" And I get an automated response saying, "Oh, when your video is downloaded, you'll get paid." I just saw my video on the news.
Right.
You know, something's wrong. And I gave them the benefit of the doubt because they always fixed it. I got to say that they did always fix it. It just was very difficult to get anyone to listen to us working for that platform.
Or get anybody being responsive. And when they were responsive, they weren't that polite.
They almost treated everybody that worked for them like they were didn't know what they were doing. Like I just got a very...
I got
a lot of attitude from them. A lot of grandiosity and
nationwide. I think they did deal with a lot of people that they didn't know what they were doing.
More like most likely, yes. But that doesn't mean. I mean, when somebody's reaching out to you and trying to help you with your business, asking for feedback, asking for information, telling you when they have a problem and asking for help, I think it's very wrong to treat them poorly when they're bending over backwards to help your business, which we did for them.
We were obviously doing quality, otherwise they wouldn't be asking us to do some of the stuff they were.
Yeah.
Also worth noting, all the news companies that they did approach here are not using them anymore.
Yes.
So
I honestly think that that may have something to do with the competition that was showing up on the news events and the problems that it was causing, people falsely saying they were representing the news companies.
It's a good model. It would be very easy to improve that model.
Yes, and nobody will... I am blown away that they don't seem to want to make any changes. They just seem to want to stick to the... grab the cell phone footage, get it to the client, whoever gets there first gets paid. And it just cutthroat mentality when it comes to an easy job that you can make money at. And they really put people against each other, and I really, really had a problem with that. Overall, it was an experience that was worthwhile because we grew so much getting out there doing spot assignments. My being on camera, interviewing skills increased, dealing with difficult situations and deadlines and just the people skills that it taught me in general with all the conflict was an amazing experience. I wouldn't trade for anything. We're taking per request now, but I really don't. I wouldn't be taking the $50 news assignments that would pop up here and there. It's just not worth it when I can focus my energy on getting corporate business video jobs and headshots and events, which is what we do and is where we are able to make our business work.
We did. I mean,
but I do not regret
because
the
we
work
weren't,
we did do.
Yeah, because we were actually doing stuff. Let's say right. We weren't running in their cell phone or running out and hurrying to try to get our stuff uploaded. I think we made a lot of meaningful connections.
Yes.
With
so that was it was
the
totally
media with news media as well. Yeah. As a lot of local businesses.
Even the sweat, blood, and tears and the conflict were absolutely worth the experience of knowing how to handle difficult situations. Well, I connected with some of the other stringers too, and met some good videographers, and those relationships are important to me.
So, I don't know, we're kind of hitting the time limit that we wanted to say, but I did want to kind of wrap up with a couple things. First, let's talk about the video, kind of on the same vein of the places we're talking about. There are places that want to license your video, and you can upload things you think are great. So, I was approached by one of these places. I'm definitely not the person that just go upload stuff, my stuff to
just
these
places.
Just
give it away, correct? Me neither.
But I was approached and it sounded like a pretty decent deal. The place was called Cater News. And so I looked at them, looked at some reviews. It wasn't so terrible. Looked like the payment was, you know, it's pretty hit or miss. And we did a video for one of my other projects where we visited a man in the Oregon Forest who lived in 727 airliner. And it was a pretty cool video. It was a pretty fun day to hang out with this guy. And so this place approached me to license this video. And I was like, okay. So I signed the contracts. And they even asked, can you send us another copy of the video without all the background music and stuff that you've added in? So I said, sure. So skip ahead. I'm looking through the YouTube channel of that project, that video series I work on, and I notice I have a copyright claim on that.
On his own video.
On my video, that's all my creation. So I'm like, what's the copyright claim? Is there some music that, is there a mistake somewhere? Was like, there's some of it where we're driving in the car. Do we have the radio on and
yeah.
catching that?
Is the Rocky theme playing in the
yeah,
background in his apartment?
So no, it was this company I licensed it to. They had put a copyright mark on me. And if anybody's ever been through that on YouTube, it is such a disaster to dispute. So I contacted them. I was just like, what's up with this? And the response I got wasn't so good. I looked through the contract. I'm like, I can revoke rights at any time. So I said, I don't want to work with you guys. This contract is null and void. Per the contract, I was allowed to do that. And they were pretty adamant about, you know, wanting to keep that in their catalog. And, you know, yeah, you'll get a cut, but you're not going to get what it's worth.
No, absolutely not.
You might be able to, so I think they go after a lot of things that they think will be viral or try to hit whatever that video that's going viral, they'll try to get rights to that first.
And then they will take your rights, and in some cases, legally they can, depending on what licensing you allow people to have.
Right. So I think, closing it out, there are so many places out there in internet land trying to make a buck off of creative people.
Yes, I'm not going to say the names, but stock photography companies that you can submit to, and they'll use your work and pay you a percentage. And I have not personally done that, and the reason is because I've heard of hard-won experience. You get about 30 cents a photograph, so you can have a spectacular, breathtaking landscape that you can sell in an art gallery for $1,000, and you'll get 30 cents from this stock agency, and they're making millions off of it.
Yes.
Putting it on a billboard or on a... So I refuse to go that way with those companies because I think we as creatives need to stand a little firmer on that kind of thing. It's great for the advertiser, but it's very unfair to the creative person. So keep that in mind if you are someone who's seeking art and quality work.
I think you can almost equate it, and I don't know why I haven't heard it equated to this, but you talk about, like, overseas labor or child labor.
Oh, my God,
yes. It's where these people who aren't doing any of the work are just making a huge
all of the money off of it. And that's exactly what's happening. So keep that in mind if you're a photographer, videographer, creative, you know, DJs, hairstylists. I mean, I see all kinds of creative people being taken advantage of and pimped out, basically, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, pretty much.
Either charge what you're worth or get pimped out.
What you were talking about with stock was like Getty Images, we'll say, who partnered with Stringer.
I tried not to say that.
there's a great news story just recently. I'll see if I can find it and put the link
down. And post the link, yes.
Where this
perfect
woman
example.
Traveled around the world and was giving her all of her photos to the Library of Congress as public domain. And she posted some of her pictures that she had given to public domain to her social media accounts and got a request for money from Getty Images, from their law firm, demanding $120. Even if you take that image down, you still have benefited from use of that image. She countersued them, saying it was her image and she's not paying $120. She countersued because there was something like hundreds of thousands or just tons of images that Getty Images had in their catalog that were hers and that were public
domain.
She lost the lawsuit because public domain, you can do anything you want with, including sell them, which is really unfortunate. But to get those kind of notices of someone demanding money for something you did and donated to the public is really, really
ridiculous.
Right,
because that's a very noble thing to do, to take your work and I know that, and thank goodness I have not been taken advantage of in this way. I've shared a lot of my work with people that were just interested in it at no charge. I've shared work for publication. I've shared work for at a personal level, Facebook, whatever. I don't really mind people using my stuff. But when it comes to somebody making a whole lot of money off of it in kind of a backdoor covert way, without my knowledge, it absolutely will not stand for that. It's against everything that I believe
in. Yeah, that story was pretty low.
I agree.
I mean, that's like a whole different level. Like, oh, I'm going to pay you 30 cents per every time we sell. That's just a whole different level.
Right. That, and our company is, our values don't align with that sort of behavior. I will say that, you know, the companies that we have worked for, I definitely wish them the best, and I've had good experiences with them, but when it comes right down to it, like I said, their values don't align with our values, and I believe in integrity, honesty, and I have enough self-esteem to charge what I'm worth, and I expect to be recognized as worthwhile and paid accordingly. I guess I bend over backwards for the clients that I serve, and I expect
yes,
them to be polite
exactly.
and respectful. I work very hard, and I'm very we are very reasonable. We don't price gouge. We don't try to take advantage of clients. And I expect the same treatment.
Well, I don't think a lot of these companies try to take advantage of the clients. I think they try to take advantage of the people doing
the
work.
Of the person, yes. So. The person doing the work for the client, absolutely.
So anyhow, this is the first, maybe something we will do every month, like a little podcast format with a little video that goes along with it. If you like it, let us know. We'll continue doing it. You can find us on www.wedovids.com, DaytonBusinessVideo.com. Is that our earlier domain?
Something like that.
You can find Horkpert,
Sarah Bennett Photography.net.
That thing. It's called a website, not a pura. So with that, I hope you enjoyed it. We're done. Bye, everybody.